All right. Well, take out your message notes and let's get into the message today. I am super excited. This is part five of our series, A Little Bit of Wisdom Goes a Long Way. And let's take a look at our foundation scripture found in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. And I'm reading from the Living Bible, but Proverbs 4:7 says this. It, tell you what, read the yellow part with me. Y'all are doing so good. And read it aloud, not a quiet, but aloud, all right? And she got it. But here we go. Let's read the yellow part together. Here we go. Ready? Read. Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. Will you say it with me one more time? Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. So if the Bible says we need to get wisdom, that it's way up there in the priority list, then I think we need to take some time. And that's what we've done over the past few weeks. You know, we've talked about different aspects from the book of Proverbs. You know, Father's Day, we got some fatherly wisdom from Bishop Reginald P. Wilkins. And we learned some things about fatherhood. And then, you know, we got into some great things last week. I want to talk to you about a subject, and this kind of plays into a little bit of what we deal with in our culture today. And I want to talk to you about something that I believe puts a ceiling on us unless we get involved in this, and that is teachability. Teachability. How many of you know we need to remain teachable all of our lives? And so I want to talk about that. Now, I'm going to get into some things, but I want you to know that this is a big topic of discussion in the book of Proverbs. Matter of fact, 26 out of 31 chapters refer to being teachable in some way or another. So this is a topic that we need to get into, we need to talk about. And so let's go into this. I titled this first section called The Babbling Fool. And it comes from this scripture in Proverbs chapter 10. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 10 in verse 8. The scripture says this, "The wise are glad to be instructed, but babbling fools fall flat on their faces." How many, I tell you what, I don't want to ask for a show of hands, but have you ever, just think the answer to yourself, have you ever found yourself in a situation where you talked too much? Well, I see a lot of heads nodding. I'm going to just be very transparent. I know you think your pastor is perfect, and I'm really close. Okay. There's a lot of doubt and unbelief in the room right then, but no, I mean, I'm a work in progress just like all of us are. And, I've been guilty of this. As we talk about, I want to show you three things. We're going to draw a couple of comparisons, three comparisons of what a babbling fool looks like. And then we'll go and then we'll compare it to what somebody who listens looks like. But in this verse, you know, there are times when we're talking, when we should be actually listening. And I want to say this. I can say this from my own experience. A lot of times we do this because we're insecure. Insecure. Now, what I mean by that is, you know, I had built into myself this thing where it was almost a defense mechanism. If I could out-talk you, then I felt like I was secure in myself. And, even if what I was saying was, laced with stuff that wasn't necessarily true, I still felt like if I talked a lot, I don't do that today, by the way. I'm not, I don't want anybody sitting there going like, what, he's telling us today the truth, but no, let me show you three things that the babbling fool does. Here's number one. The babbling fool is a know-it-all. A know-it-all. Anybody know any know-it-alls? And if you don't, you're probably one, okay? So if you don't look at the person next to you, just think about them and maybe, just pray in their direction or something. But, you've been around that person who seems to know a little bit or a lot about everything. And, I have always been a student. I study things a lot. I gather a lot of information. And, unintentionally, I have probably come across this way. But look at what Proverbs 28, verse 26 says. Those who trust in their own insight are foolish, but anyone who walks in wisdom is safe. See, a lot of times a person that is a know-it-all really takes pride in the fact that they know a little bit about everything, or they know just enough. And there are some of us who think that we know a lot about stuff and we really don't. And young folks, listen to me. If you're a younger person in here today, please, please. And listen to this older guy talking to you. You know, I'm 28. I'll be 29 next month. And Lord, forgive me for lying in church. Now, I'll be 55 in a few weeks. And so I'm really excited. It's just a number. But I do know this. I have gained a little bit of experience and maturity with double digits like that. And so I want you to understand, young folks, that if you will listen to what I'm telling you today, it will save you a world of heartache. All right? So don't be a know-it-all. So those who trust in their own insight are foolish. The second one is this type of person, the been there, done that. You ever been trying to talk to somebody and you know you're describing some exciting thing that you did and they're like, oh, no, I've been there, done that. You know, you were like, I went hiking and I went up to the top of Mount Mitchell in the mountains here in North Carolina. And they're like, oh, no. See, I've been there, done that. I've been up there about 10 times. And you know, so just little things like that. Been there, done that. And the scripture says this, Proverbs 18:2, fools have no interest in understanding. In other words, I'm not taking the time to listen to what you're saying and about your experience and helping you appreciate your experience. No, I'm just wanting to tell you that I've probably done something better. You know, somebody said, well, I jumped off the high dive. Well, I've been skydiving. But I mean, you know, there's always that. And then the next type of person is the person that is the one-upper. The one-upper. Anybody ever know a one-upper? You know, where, you know, I climb Mount Mitchell and they're like, well, you know, I climb Mount Everest without oxygen, you know. And so they're always have something where they've done something bigger and better than you. And what I want us to understand, we're probably all guilty of this in some degree, but a lot of it is the fact that we're insecure. And so we feel like that we're not secure unless we're one-upping somebody else. Proverbs 12:15 says this, fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. So don't worry about having to one-up somebody else. Don't worry about having to say, I've been there, done that. No, just to, you know, listen, here's something we need to do. When somebody's sharing their experience with you, learn to celebrate their experience. When they're telling you what they've accomplished or what they've done, you know, don't let it be a contest. Let it be something where you're like, hey, man, I celebrate that. I'm so glad. And let me tell you, these three things, if you want to see these three things in operation at one time, go to a pastor's meeting. Yeah, you'll see it at pastor's meetings, you know, where you'll hear the pastors and they're comparing what's going on. And, you know, the big question is, well, how many are you running? And of course, you know, we don't give our average Sunday numbers. We give the Easter number. You know, that's the Easter number is the highest attendance you have all year. So we give the Easter number. And there's a phrase that we used to use years ago that it's called evangelistically speaking, you know, where you stretch the truth elastically. And so anyway, preachers are the worst about this type of thing. But here's young people. Let me give you a little bit of advice from this scripture, Proverbs 17, verse 28. And early on, I did learn this, and I thank God for it. Look at this. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. You know, I learned early on, if I will just shut up, that I will come across seeming a whole lot more intelligent than I am than if I feel like I have to, you know, up everybody or, you know, talk about my experiences and all that. You will come across as being highly wise if you will just learn to keep silent. So that's what a babbling fool sounds like. Now let's look at what a listening heart looks like. And let's go to Proverbs 1:5 says this, let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. Look at the first part of that verse again. Let the wise do what?
Listen.
Come on, let the wise do what?
Listen.
Let the wise listen. So let me tell you three attributes of a person who is a listener. Number one is this, a listener is humble. A listener is humble. Proverbs 11 verse 2 says this, pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Now, I want to just tell you something, and this is extra. This isn't in your notes, but if you have some space there, I want you to write this down. Humility is your choice. When you and I make the decision to humble ourselves, it is our choice. Anybody, let me ask you this. Anybody in the room ever been humiliated? Okay. Humiliation is when someone else makes that choice for you. I want you to think about that. Humility is when you and I choose to humble ourselves. Humiliation is when somebody else makes that choice for us and they decide to humble us. That's what humiliation is. And humiliation is not fun. Humility is something that we have to do. And really, choosing to be humble is this. It's just we choose to lay our pride aside. Lay it down. Lay it down. And so when we're humiliated, what that means is somebody has come into our life and extracted pride from us painfully. I want you to think about that. You know, if you've ever been in a situation where you were called out and embarrassed and all of that, you were certainly humbled in that situation. But what happened is somebody else made the decision for you and extracted pride from your life in a very, very painful and embarrassing way. And so what I want us to understand is humility is our choice. Look at somebody beside you and tell them, you need to choose to be humble. Tell the person on the other side, tell them, you need to be humble. Here's the next one. A listening heart has a desire to grow. A listening heart has a desire to grow. Proverbs 15:14 says this, a wise person is hungry. Everybody say hungry. Say it like you might be in just a few minutes. Hungry. Some of you are going to be hangry. All right. A wise person is hungry for knowledge while the fool feeds on Facebook. Oh, did I go there? Oh, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. All right. Let me reread it. A wise person is hungry for knowledge while the fool feeds on Instagram. When I just said that a minute ago, I saw somebody go, mm-hmm. A wise person is hungry for knowledge while the fool feeds on trash. And I'm going to be honest with you. God really dealt with me about this. Not about Facebook and all that, but, you know, just some stuff I was watching on TV. And I wasn't watching crazy stuff. I was watching regular network television. And God dealt with me about this verse because I've read this verse every month for months and years now as I read through Proverbs every month. And finally, this verse jumped out to me. And you know, I had to be honest. There were some times when I was qualified as a fool because I was feeding on stuff that I didn't need to be feeding on. And I'm not, listen, it was not crazy stuff. It was not, but how many of you know what is on regular television now? Hey, listen, if you ever get a chance, go watch one of the networks that airs the old programs. Okay? You know, listen, I love those networks because when I was down visiting my grandmother in Florida a couple weeks ago, there's a station down there that airs nothing but old programs. I'm talking about the good stuff, like Andy Griffith. And I hadn't seen Gomer Pyle in years. And they were airing episodes of Gomer Pyle on there. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And then Hogan's Heroes came on. Anybody, any of you older folks remember Hogan's Heroes? Love me some Hogan's Heroes. But I was watching Andy Griffith. And I was as I was watching this program, it compared to what's on TV today, it was as pure as it could be. I mean, I'll just tell you this little story. There was a stranger who came into town, and he was causing some trouble. And so Andy and Barney, of course, were on it. And so they end up befriending this stranger. And so they try to talk him into staying at Andy's house. And so Andy, you know, is inviting. He's like, no, I'm not, you know, I don't want to do that. And Opie, you remember Opie, Ron Howard, okay? Opie comes up and he says, please, mister, please stay. Because when we have guests that come in, I get to sleep on the ironing board between two chairs. And I was like, what? I mean, this kid was so excited about being able to sleep on an ironing board stretched out between two chairs. I mean, and I was like, wow. That's what we got entertainment out of 50 years ago versus what we get entertainment out of. And I'm not, you know, listen, I'm not bashing television, but I am telling you that you've got to be mindful and not do as I was, qualifying as a fool and feeding on trash. Just stuff that's unnecessary. Because here's what happens. What you need to understand that when whatever you put into your thinking, it does not go away. And at the most inopportune times, some of that stuff will come up. You know, if I do watch some, you know, a couple of movies or something and there's some bad words in it, I am amazed at how when that blessing of a person pulls out in front of me in traffic, how one of those bad words that I heard in the movie gets about right here. I guess that doesn't happen to anybody else. It only happens to me. Please pray for your pastor. Hallelujah. All right. Now, a wise person is hungry for knowledge while the fool feeds on trash. A listening heart has a desire to grow. You know, growth doesn't always feel good. You know, I can remember being a kid, and I was thinking about this as I was preparing this message. You know, I remember being a little boy, you know, 8, 7, 8, 9 years old. And you know, you'd be laying in bed and your leg starts hurting, okay? You'd go in and you'd tell, you know, one of your parents or whatever, my leg hurts. That's just growing pains. Go back to bed. Anybody ever had growing pains when you were growing up, okay? See, growth doesn't always feel good. And we've got this misconception that when we're growing, it's always going to feel great. It's going to be just absolutely awesome. And I want you to understand that a lot of times growth does not feel good, because here's the third thing, is that a listening heart will embrace correction. A listening heart will embrace correction. And we never, ever like correct. I don't know anybody that goes up and says, hey, please correct me. Please, really, I want you to correct me. No, we're really hoping that we haven't done anything that's worthy of correction, and we really don't need it. See, correction is never fun, but we really must learn to embrace it, because that's when growth actually comes. We may not enjoy it, but here's what you need to understand about correction. It will always make you better. Correction will always make you better. And here's something that you have to be mindful of. Look at this. Correction is never rejection. Correction is never rejection. That's not in your notes. That's free. But something that we need to understand is that the enemy is always going to make sure that you interpret correction as rejection. Now, go to the next slide, guys. The enemy is always going to make sure that you interpret correction as rejection so that you become bitter, not better. That was good right there. That was worth a little something. The enemy is always going to make sure that you interpret correction as rejection to make sure you get bitter, not better. Because correction will always make you better. You know, there's a word in this verse coming up that I was never allowed to use growing up, but I'm so glad the Bible says it. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1 says this: to learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid. Everybody say stupid. Stupid. I was never allowed to call my brother that. No, you know, I wasn't allowed to even have that in my vocabulary, but now I can because it's biblical. It is stupid to hate correction. It's dumb. It's really dumb to hate correction. Proverbs 13:8 says this: if you ignore criticism, you'll end in poverty and disgrace. What that tells me, here's what I like to do when I'm reading Proverbs sometimes, is invert it. So let me show you what I mean. If you accept criticism, you will end in prosperity. Oh, I guess I got more out of that than you did, but if you ignore criticism, you'll end in poverty and disgrace. If you accept criticism, you'll be honored, the scripture says. How many of you want some God to be able to bless and prosper you? Well, then you're going to have to embrace some criticism. You're going to have to embrace some criticism. You're going to have to hold on to those things and embrace it. And you know, listen, I've had people that have, you know, posted nasty stuff about me on Facebook. I've had people write me nasty letters. I've had people, I know, it's shocking. But here's what I do, okay? And I encourage you to do this. Always ask yourself this question. When somebody does something like that or says something like that, always ask yourself, is there an element of truth in what they're saying? That takes real humility to be able to ask that. To be able to ask the question, is there an element of truth in what they're saying? And so I step back and I say, as much as I don't want to, as much as I'd rather cuss them out and let them really have it, okay? I'm human, all right? I have to step back and say, you know what? Is there an element of truth in what they're saying? And if there is, then I need to embrace that. And maybe 90% of what they said was wrong, but maybe there's 5 or 10% that is right that I need to embrace. And maybe I do need to change in that area. Now, let's talk about what is a teachable life. What is a teachable life? Look at Proverbs 13, verses 13 and 14. People who despise advice are asking for trouble. Those who respect a command, or let me put it this way, those who respect advice will succeed. Verse 14 says, the instruction of the wise is a life-giving fountain. Those who accept it avoid the snares of death. So if we want a better life, if we want the kind of life that God wants us to live, that Jesus bought and paid for us to experience, then we're going to have to learn to be teachable people. We're going to have to learn how to receive and to be teachable. So let me give you some characteristics of teachable people. Those who are learners. Here's number one, learners initiate. Learners initiate. Now this is where it's going to get really practical. Learners initiate. You know, learners are the people that take the first step. Learners are the ones that take the first step in making progress to get better. I always admire, I heard a story about someone the other day, an older person who is my age, making the decision to go back to school to get their degree and so that they can become better. Learners always take the first step. You're always going to see learners initiating to take the first step or take some steps. Proverbs 18:15 says this, intelligent people are always ready to learn. Their ears are open for knowledge. Now, you know, and I'm talking about in spiritual things and natural things. You know, God doesn't want you spiritually sharp and naturally ignorant. I'm going to say that one more time. God doesn't want you to be spiritually sharp and where you're developed spiritually. He has no problem with you being educated and learning and naturally speaking, knowing your craft, your field, whatever it might be that God's called you to do. He wants you to be getting better in every area of your life. And learners are people that take the steps to begin that process in their lives, to begin to grow. Look at Proverbs 2, verse 2, tune your ears to wisdom. I like that. Being a musician, I think about that. What that means is, wisdom can be talking to you and you don't hear it because your ears are out of tune. How many of you had one of the old televisions with the rabbit ears growing up? Okay, I'm going to really go a step further. How many of you had a television where the knob fell off and you had a pair of pliers that you had to change the channels with? Okay, all right. Some of you, see, the young folks today don't understand the struggle, what it was like. See, I was the designated channel changer of the family. We didn't have remote controls. And so if everybody else wanted to watch something different, guess who had to change the channel? Well, I had to get up. And so how many of you, we had one of those, and I'm sad to say I've still got one today, but one of those wide hip, big old console televisions. You know, one of those televisions that's a combination record player. Some of them had an 8-track built in. You know what I'm talking about. Had a big old TV. And when you turned it on, it started as a dot, and then the dot got bigger, and you had to wait for it to warm up. See, y'all, you young folks don't understand what it was like. And you had two antennas. You had one for the VHF channels. Like here in Charlotte, you know, back in the day, we only had like five channels. There was 3, 9, 18, 36, and then the educational channels, 42 and 58. And you know, you had the one knob that would you could tune channel 3 and 9 in. But then you had the other knob, the UHF knob, that you had to tune in all those other stations. And we had one of those things sitting on top of the television that had a rotor on it, and you'd turn it, and it'd go, and then it would come in clear, but then the thing would keep going, and then you'd have to back it up. So, anybody know what I'm talking about? See, what folks don't understand today is the fight to get in tune with the stations that you were trying to receive. And if you had the smaller TV with the rabbit ears on it, I better not see any hands go up. You had aluminum foil to help you. Oh, okay. All right. Had aluminum foil on the rabbit ears. Because somehow, oh, thank God for aluminum foil. It could work miracles, I'm telling you. But here's the thing that I want you to see. All of that work, all of that effort was put in to getting in tune to what was going on. Because here, you want to look like a fool back in that day? You call up, you know, your antennas are all out of whack. You barely getting channel 3 or 9 in. And you call the station and say, what's wrong with y'all? Is something wrong with your station? Because I'm not getting y'all at all. No, what they would come back to you is, no, we're broadcasting just fine. It's just you're not in tune to be able to hear it. So you need to adjust so that you can hear it. And what I want you to see is Solomon is telling us that if we want wisdom, sometimes we got to move the rabbit ears. Sometimes we got to change the rotor. Sometimes we got to put aluminum foil on the antennas so that we can receive. And I'm talking spiritually speaking. So that we can receive the wisdom that God's trying to get into our lives. Please don't ever think that God is trying to withhold wisdom from you. He's trying to get wisdom over to you. It says, tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Look at this. Cry out. Everybody say, cry out.
Cry out.
Cry out for insight. Ask for understanding. Search for them. As you would for silver, seek them like hidden treasures. Sounds to me like there's a whole lot of effort on our side that needs to be exerted versus on wisdom's side. It sounds to me like we need to initiate some things so that we can receive the wisdom that God's trying to get to us. Matter of fact, James chapter 1 verse 5 in the New Testament says this, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God. And He'll give it to you. And He won't rebuke you for asking. I love that. God doesn't say, I can't believe you came to me again. Didn't you just come to me about asking for wisdom yesterday? No, He never says that. Matter of fact, it ain't going to hurt God's feelings if you come to Him several times a day. God, I need some wisdom in this particular situation right here. I've got this thing I'm dealing with at work. I know You know the answer. And Lord, I believe that You want to get it to me. So Father, I ask You for wisdom right now. I believe that I receive it right now in Jesus' name. And then get quiet and listen to what God wants to say to you. Here's the next thing learners do. Learners implement. By the way, these are all going to be I's. It's just a preacher thing, okay? Learners implement. So learners initiate, and then once they get some wisdom, learners implement. Proverbs 7:24 in the Living Bible says this, listen to me, young men, and not only listen, but here's the key, but obey. Wisdom does you no good if you don't do it. You got to do it. When God takes the time to pour wisdom into our lives, we've got to do it. We've got to be obedient. James 1:22, again in the New Testament, says this, don't merely listen to the word, and deceive yourselves. Now, it's a shame. I got to stop to say this. It's a shame when the devil doesn't even have to come in and deceive us. Because James says we can deceive ourselves. How do we deceive ourselves? If we come and we hear the word and we receive from the Lord and God gives us what we need and we don't do it. We deceive ourselves, James says. He says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do it. Take some steps and obey the word. Let me show you a couple of things that we have coming up where you can take some steps. If you're here today and you have never been water baptized, I want to challenge you. Take some steps. Take a step to step forward in your walk with God. Learners implement. On July 15th, we're going to do water baptism. Make plans. Sign up. Go to the website under Next Steps and sign up for water baptism. Take the step. The next thing that we're going to have is our Growth Track membership class. Some of you have been coming to the church for a while. You know, you kind of been kicking the tires, so to speak, and just trying to figure out, is Spring Hill where I want to be? Listen, implement. Take some steps and come to that class, and I promise you it'll be a blessing to you, but it will help you grow, and most importantly, it'll help you make a decision on what you need to do where your walk with God is concerned. Here's number three. Third thing that learners do, and that is learners improve. Turn to somebody close by and say, hey, listen, you need to improve. Y'all didn't say that very strong. Let me try that again. Turn to somebody close by to you and tell them with a smile on your face, hey, you need to improve. You need to get better. You need to get better. You need to improve. Prove. I'm listening to this over here. Maybe Mark just made the mistake. Did you actually do it or did you stop? Okay, praise the Lord. He was about to turn to his wife and say, you need to improve. Maybe I should have qualified that and said, turn to somebody else beside your spouse and tell them they need to improve, all right? Yes. And the altar call will be open for all liars after the service. And marriage counseling is available here at the church also. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talked about this. In Ephesians 4:15, he said this, we'll speak the truth in love. Look at this. Growing in every way more and more like Christ. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. And you know, I just had to take a moment as I was studying this, and I had to look up in the Greek language, what does the word grow mean in the Greek? And it's going to surprise you a little bit. It doesn't just mean mature. That's included in it. But how many of you would like to increase? Okay. That's included in the word grow in the Greek. How many of you would... And I say this with great caution. How many of you would like to enlarge? Okay. Spiritually speaking, hallelujah. How many of you would like to exceed and go further than you've ever gone before? That's all included in that word grow. So when Paul says that, he says, we'll speak the truth in love, increasing in every way. We'll speak the truth in love, exceeding what we've done in the past in every way. We'll speak the truth in love. We will enlarge our capabilities, our abilities in every way as we grow to become more like Christ, who is the head of his body. See, God wants you to grow. God wants you to expand. God wants you to increase. God wants you to enlarge. He wants you to be better than you were yesterday. And my prayer for us as a church and for you all as individuals is that 12 months from now, when we're sitting here, you know, maybe in this room, I don't know, but wherever we are as a church family and we're sitting here, I want us to be better than we were today. You know, when we're sitting here in July of 2019, I want us to look back and say, wow, we have really enlarged. We have really increased. We have really grown. And God wants that for us today. as individuals. Number four is this, leaders always inspire. Or excuse me, learners always inspire. Learners always inspire. You know, one thing that I have learned about people that love to learn is they never like to leave people behind. You know, people that are really true learners always extend a hand back to bring somebody forward. And I want to challenge us in this message today to, as we become learners or as we grow and as we learn, I want you to always be reaching back to bring somebody else along with you. Don't ever leave people behind. People that you have the ability to be able to impact their lives, to influence their lives, to help them in their walk with Jesus, maybe even on your job to help them become better. Reach back and take them along with you. Take them for the ride of growth with you. Let me show you a verse in the scripture, and I'm going to explain this because it might seem odd. Proverbs 27:17 says this, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." Now, one thing that you need to understand about this verse is if you have iron, two pieces of iron, and both of those two pieces are equal, one will not sharpen the other. One of those pieces of iron has to be hardened, if you will, to a degree that it'll have an effect on the other person. When I say hardened, what I mean is this. It has to be fashioned in a way that it is stronger than the piece that it is designed to sharpen. And what Proverbs is telling us here is that, you know, as iron sharpens iron. So what I'm saying to you is this. If you are the smartest person in your group that you run around with, you're running around with the wrong group. You need to run around with some people that are smarter than you are so they can sharpen you. Now, let me say this. Make sure that you have people in your life that you can do the same thing for them, that you can sharpen them as well. But don't be the smartest person in the group that you run around with, because you'll never be challenged, you'll never grow, and you won't have anybody sharpening you. But at the same time, always make yourself available to sharpen somebody else. All right? Now, let's wrap this up. Let me show you one more verse. Proverbs 19, verse 20 says this, "Get all the advice and instruction you can so you will be wise the rest of your life." So let me give you the habit. Habit number five, wisdom, a little bit of wisdom number five is this. The habit of a teachable spirit produces a life of consistent wisdom. The habit of having a teachable heart, a learning heart, will make sure that you have a life of consistent wisdom. I want to challenge you today. Be a listener. Don't be a babbling fool. Be a listener. Be a learner so that you can become everything that God wants you to be, and then you can help those around you to become everything that God wants them to be. Will you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the word that we've heard today. Lord, I believe that you've spoken to each and every one of our hearts. I know I've been challenged in this message, and Lord, I believe that you've challenged others in here as well to be better, to maybe not talk quite as much as we have in the past, but maybe listen a little better, maybe to do like James said and to be slow to speak, swift to hear, and to understand. Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you for these truths. Father, I pray for every single person here under the sound of my voice. And Lord, I believe that you have great things in store for each and every one of us, that you have deposited great potential in us. And Lord, I believe your plan, your desire is for us to become everything that you want us to be, to grow in wisdom, to increase in knowledge, Father. Knowledge of you, knowledge of your word, knowledge of what you've called us to do in this natural world. And Father, I believe that you're going to do that in each and every one of our lives. As we hunger after that, we pursue it, thirst after it. Jesus said that we would be satisfied. And I thank you for doing that, Lord. Father, you know how much I love each and every one of these precious people. I believe, Father, that you want to do something special in their lives, and I just ask you to do it right now in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, I want to ask you a couple of questions before we leave here in just a few moments. If you're here today and you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you have never received the free gift of God's love, His grace, His mercy that He made so abundantly available to us through what Jesus did at the cross. The Bible says, Mel talked about it earlier, Melvin, when we were getting ready to start worship. Matter of fact, he said that God so loved the world that He gave. Jesus died to pay a great price for each and every one of us. And so He makes that available to us, and all we have to do is receive it. It's not a matter of you joining our church. It's not a matter of any type of religious exercise. It's just simply you opening your heart and saying, Jesus, I don't want to live my life by myself. I believe You died for me, and I want You to be the Lord of my life. Maybe you're here and you've made that decision. Maybe at some point in your life you gave your heart to Christ, but you know, for whatever reason, your heart's grown cold towards the things of God. And maybe you're in a position now where you're believing that you've messed up too badly, that God doesn't want anything to do with you, or if He does, it's maybe at a distance. I want you to know that that's absolutely not the truth, that God is pursuing you right now. Jesus taught us in Luke chapter 15 that God will search for us, He'll pursue after us, He will look for us desperately. And when we make the simple decision to return and to turn our hearts back to Him, the Bible says that He'll run towards us. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you need to turn your heart back towards Him and recommit your life to the Lord. I want to pray with you today. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to make you come down front or anything like that. But while nobody's looking around, if you want me to pray with you today, and I'd love the privilege of being able to do that, if you want me to pray with you today so that you can receive Christ for the first time or recommit your life, I'd love the privilege of being able to do that. I just need to know that you need prayer. If that's you, just put your hand up quickly. I'd love to pray with you. Church, if you believe in what we're doing, will you please pray this prayer with me? Say, Lord Jesus, I come to You today. I believe with all my heart that You died for me. I believe You were buried, but I believe You were raised from the dead. Jesus, I make You the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me in Your blood. Make me clean and holy. Thank You for forgiving me. Thank You for wiping away my past and giving me a brand new start. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.